creation. Amen? I want God to touch you. I'm here. I want you to put your faith in God's power. Amen? And the Holy Spirit, He's always faithful to demonstrate God's word. You know, God is so good that sometimes you can hardly contain how good He is. And there are times when you just have to express how good God is in unconventional ways. Amen? Amen. If you feel so inclined that you feel God is so good that you just got to run around this building and shout, so be it. That's fine. Everybody say, that's fine.
That's fine.
You know? If you want to shake or shout or laugh, that's fine too. Amen? Amen. However, you want to express yourself to God. And you know, the Holy Spirit may speak to you and say, do this. You'd be like, oh, I've never done that before. Well, every fire needs a spark. That might be the very spark that God needs to get a fire going. Amen? You know, they told us at Bible school, they said, get on fire and people come watch you burn. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And we're going to begin with a story here. And we're going to go to verse 4. And the Bible says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Jesus felt impressed. He felt called that he had to go through Samaria. I believe that God was setting him up with a divine appointment. There was someone there who needed an encounter with the Savior. There was someone there. There was ripe fruit that needed to be harvested. Okay? So Jesus was compelled to go through Samaria. I believe that Jesus is compelled to come through Palmyra. Amen? Is he the same God as he was there? Then he is still walking, he is still moving, and he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, are we gathered in his name today? Then he says, I am there in the midst. So Jesus is here. Praise God. Then he came, verse 5, then he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Praise God. We have a well right here. A well that is springing up into eternal life. Amen. It's a well that never runs dry. It's a well that you can draw from. It's a well that will truly satisfy you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
One time I was in the Czech Republic, and we were in a church that actually had a well inside the church. And I thought, man, what kind of illustrations you could have with that. But yeah, there was a well that I think John Huss had built that church, and he actually built it around the well, and it was pretty cool. So there was a well right there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat there on the well. And it was about the sixth hour, or about noon. And there comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. You know, the easiest witnessing that you could do is ask someone a question. If you don't know what you can say to another person, you can ask them a question. How are you? Amen? And watch their body language. If they say, okay, but they're moving their head, you know, you can go a little bit further. But the easiest way to witness, to introduce Jesus to someone, is to ask a question. Okay? But we're not here to talk about witnessing. We're here to talk about worship. Worship in spirit and in truth. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. See, this was a divine appointment. He felt like he needed to go through here, and now he's tired. He's sitting down, and God sends the prospect right to him. I love that. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Aren't you glad our God is not a racist?
Amen.
Amen? He welcomes people from all nations, all tongues, and all tribes. Praise God. And Jesus is willing to cross boundaries that man has put up. Amen? He will move heaven and earth to reach you. Okay? So here he was. See, Samaritans, or the Jews thought Samaritans were dogs. And we know from the story of the Good Samaritan that the religious leaders, the priest and the Levite, didn't want to have anything to do with the guy who was beaten and left for dead, except for the Samaritan. Amen? Jesus is our Good Samaritan. He's the one that reaches out when we need him the most. Jesus answered her and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, do you know God's gift today? You know, we're talking about worship, and part of worship is knowing what God offers. Amen? He has given us an offer that we shouldn't refuse. He will not make you accept his offer. All God can do is give you the offer. All God can do is give you salvation. All God can do is give you the Holy Spirit. And all who want it, all who accept it, can have it. See, this woman didn't know the gift of God. We're going to find out in a little bit. Not only did she know the gift of God, but who it is that says to you, give me to drink. She had no revelation of who he was, but she was about to get one. Amen? You know, God wants to show himself to you. He wants to reveal himself to you. Now, the primary way that God reveals himself to us is through the Word of God. And he can reveal himself through visions, dreams, but the primary way is through the Word. Amen? Is Jesus the Word of God? He is the Word made flesh. Jesus is the walking Bible. Amen? He is the Word of God in a flesh body, and everything he says will happen. Everything he says, he speaks with authority, and he speaks with power, and what he says happens. It hasn't changed today. What the Word says you are, you are. What the Word says you can do, you can do. What the Word says you can have, you can have. Amen? So, she didn't know the gift of God, and she didn't know who the person that was talking to her. And then Jesus said, give me to drink. You would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. How do you get living water? You ask. Anybody thirsty today? I've got some living water, and it's yours. All you got to do is ask. It's free. Get your living water. Living water. I got living water here. Anybody want some living water? Hey, get your living water. Ice cold living water. Yeah, I'll have some. Yeah, I'll have some. God will give to everyone who asks of him living water. Not just purified water, not sparkling water, not mountain water, spring water, but living water. Amen? This water that you drink is going to bring life to your body. It's going to bring life to your soul. It's going to bring life to your spirit. It'll bring life to your family. It'll bring life to your finances. Hallelujah. This is living water, not dead water. Verse 11, the woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. She is still thinking natural. From where then have you this living water? See, God's things, they're available, but they're hidden. Amen? You don't get things from God in a natural way. You have to get things by the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God is God's network of communication. Amen? And it is, you know, how can someone come unless the Spirit draws them? Amen? And Jesus had the Spirit without measure. He even said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Say this with me. Say, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And see, God can communicate directly to your spirit. He can even bypass your mind. Some things of God are caught, not taught. Amen? There's just some things that you have to do. You can't be taught how to do them. You just have to do them. Amen? Sometimes I think we just need to practice raising our hands in worship, because to some people, it's so foreign. Oh, there we go. It was stuck. But see, when a child wants to be picked up from their father, what do? They lift up their hands. Amen? And God, he wants, when your hands are lifted up, that's a sign to say that you're open. Amen? That you are ready to receive. Let's just try that. Can we try that? Just put your Bibles down right now. And let's just lift up our hands. Doesn't that feel good? Amen? And don't worry about whether or not the person next to you has deodorant. It'll be all right. But when you do this, you're saying, God, say this with me. Say, God, I'm open for what you want to do in me, through me, and to me. In Jesus' name, amen. That was a good exercise. We're learning how to worship. We're taking steps. Verse 12, are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? Yes, I am, because I made the water that's in the well. Jesus could have said. And drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. You have a fountain on the inside of you. Amen? And notice, water that springs up, moving water always generates power. Moving water. Never is power generated from stagnant water. It's always where the water can move. God wants to move. And the bucket that you use to dip into this water is your tongue. Amen? And you can dip in and you can bring it out and you can dip in more and you can bring it out. And eventually, whoo, you start to feel good. Praise God. Why? Because it's living water, good water. It'll satisfy your soul. Verse 15. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Was she open now for God's gift? Now she was getting into a position to receive the gift of God because she said, give me this water. Amen? God oftentimes, he needs your permission to operate in your life. He knows what you have need of, right? But he still wants you to ask. Well, why did, if he knows what I need, why doesn't he give it to me? Because that would require no faith. Asking demonstrates faith. And when you want something from God, you've got to ask him for it, and he will give it to you as long as it's in his word. Amen? He will hold nothing back from what he's told you in his word. All his promises are yes and amen. Never no and maybe. Always yes and amen. Praise God. All right, let's read on. Now Jesus said unto her, go call your husband and come here. Now he's giving her an instruction. He's seeing if she is going to continue with his desire. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. Maybe her name was Elizabeth Taylor, I don't know. And he whom you now have is not your husband. In that you said truly. What kind of life is this woman living? She's looking for something, but she can't find it. Every time she's tried to find what she's looking for, it's ended up in failure. And now she almost feels like she's trapped because she cannot break the cycle. But I want to tell you, when you encounter the maker of the living water, any destructive cycle can be broken in a minute. Amen? She was not satisfied in life. Okay? So how did Jesus know this? He knew this by the Spirit. This was a word of knowledge. This was a revelation of an already known fact. People who knew this woman knew this about this woman. But Jesus just showed up in Samaria. I don't know if he ever met this woman before, but by the Spirit of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit, he is given this information so that he can help her. Thank God for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are designed to edify the body. Amen? Maybe you're here and maybe you're feeling like sometimes I read your mail. I want to guarantee you I'm not a mailman. And if I'm reading your mail, it is the Spirit of God and not me, because I don't know what your mail says. Amen? But he does that so that he can help you. God wants to help you. He wants to elevate you. He wants to touch you. He loves you for who you are. No one else loves you like God loves you. You have a face that only God can love. No, just kidding. No, you're created in his image and you guys are all awesome. All right? Let's read on. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Well, yeah, he just told her her life. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. Let me tell you something. There's no designated place of worship. You can worship God in the bathroom. You can worship God on the dining room table. You can worship God in your car. You can worship God on your job. You can worship God when you're taking a walk. You can worship God on the bicycle. Everywhere you go, you can worship God. Why? Because God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. And yes, there are places where worship should occur, but it's not limited to that place. Worship can occur anywhere a person wants to connect with God. Amen. Verse 22, you worship what you know not. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And these two verses I want you to focus on, verses 23 and 24. But the hour comes, and now is, say now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want you to know that worship is a spiritual thing. Amen? You can connect, your spirit can connect to God through worship. And I want you to see, God is seeking such. He is looking for true worshipers. He's in heaven, and he's looking out those people who will express their love to him, who will express their adoration to him, who will express their heart to him. And he's looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth, because that's the way that you can connect with the Father. Amen. And when you worship him in spirit and in truth, he will do amazing things. We're going to see throughout this month that worship was the key to many getting their miracle. Many came and worshiped God and received a miracle, but they worshiped him first. There is power in worship. So, what is worship? What is worship? It's reverent devotion to God. It's allegiance to God. In other words, when you worship God, you are in agreement and you are committed to his cause. What is his cause? His cause is to seek and save that which was lost. Amen? And I want you to know that whatever God has for you on this in this life, your primary purpose is to please God. You were created for his pleasure. God created man because he wanted someone to pal around with. He created you because he loves you. And you are created for God's pleasure. Your main purpose on this earth is to please God in everything. Say, my main purpose on earth is to please God. That is your main purpose. And then anything out of that main purpose, God will bring you more into a specialization, right? But no matter what God asks you to do, ultimately you're supposed to please him. And when you do what God says do, you're pleasing him. Amen? But when you don't do what he says you should do, then you're not pleasing him. So number one, worship is knowing God and it's recognizing what he has given you. Because he came to this woman, he said, you don't know the gift and you don't know the person. But a true worshiper, they recognize what's been done for them. And they recognize who did the doing, right? You recognize the gift of salvation. You cannot find salvation in any other than Jesus Christ. There is no name under heaven and in earth whereby men can be saved other than the name of Jesus. Jesus is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. He is the only way to the Father. If you want to get to God, you've got to go through Jesus. You cannot go in any other way. So worship is knowing what he's given you. If we ever just consider the awesome gift that God has given us. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was broken, and now I'm put back together. I was in darkness, now I'm in light. What an awesome gift. I mean, God lets you use his air for free. He created your brain to make your heart beat without thinking about it. Is that awesome or what? Do we serve an awesome God? Well, part of worship is recognizing and knowing what he's given to us. When you know, when someone gives you a gift that you've wanted this gift, and all of a sudden this gift shows up in your hands with your name on it, you get excited. It makes you feel good. Amen? Well, the same thing is true with God. And out of that expression, out of that feeling, comes worship. We worship him because he is worthy. So worship is knowing God and recognizing what he's given to you. Let's go to Psalm 27:8. Psalm 27:8. See, in order for us to know how to worship, we need to know what it is. Amen? How many has ever been served something, some type of food, and you say, what is it? You don't eat it until you know what it is. Amen? Well, in some cases, it's probably better not to ask. You know, when you're on the mission field, Whatever they serve you, you eat. No questions asked. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for sanctifying this. Thank you, Lord. What did I just eat? I don't want to know. Psalm 27, verse 8. When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said unto you, "Your face, Lord, will I seek." So worship is seeking God's face, and it's seeking his presence. When you worship, you get an audience with the Almighty. God has given us an invitation to come boldly before his throne of grace, right? Each one of us can go before the Lord. You can go before his throne and you can obtain mercy and find grace when you need it. You can go into the Holy of Holies. Amen? You don't have to be a high priest. You don't have to do it once a year. You can do it anytime, anywhere, any place. It doesn't matter. You have an open invitation to come before God's throne. So worship is seeking his presence and seeking his face. Do you know how much God desires an audience with you? Do you know how much he longs to fellowship with you, to talk with you? Who do you think set up walking with Adam in the cool of the day? It was God. God wanted to just come down where Adam was. He wanted to walk with Adam. He wanted to be involved in what Adam was doing. He was asking Adam, "Okay, Adam, what did you name that animal?" "Well, that's a funny name, Adam, but okay, what'd you name that one?" So him and God, they would have conversation. They would have fellowship. They would have intimacy because that's what worship is. Worship is the highest form of intimacy with God. Go to Psalm 57. You know, God thinks so much of worship that he put a whole book of songs in the Bible. 150 chapters. And in it contains the longest chapter in the Bible. You don't think it's important for God? God created everyone to worship. If you're not worshiping God, you will worship something. Amen. You were designed to worship. But God needs to be the object of our worship. He needs to be the subject of our worship. He needs to be the reason why we worship. Amen. And if you're not worshiping him, you worship something. You will look for something to fill that void. Psalm 57, verse 9. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. You can do it privately. You can do it publicly. Hallelujah. I will sing unto the Lord among the nations, for your mercy is great unto the heavens. He's praising him because his mercy is so great. God had mercy on me. I did not get what I deserved. I deserved punishment. I deserved death. I deserved destruction because I strayed from God. But God saw fit. I don't care if you strayed. I'm making a way where you can come back. His mercy, because of his mercy, you could just praise God forever based on his mercy. Not getting what you deserve. His mercy is great unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. You know, God wants his glory in the earth. Worship is an awakening to praise God. When God does something, he touches you. He does something in your life. Something on the inside awakens you. It's like opening the refrigerator and the light comes on. Something on the inside, it's a spark that happens on the inside, and your reaction is worship. Your response is worship. You may not even know how to express yourself. You just do the best you can, and you worship God because he touches you on the inside. So worship is an awakening of your soul to God. After all, he causes the dead to rise. Do you realize that when you were in sin, you were dead? You were separated from the life of God. You were in darkness. You were a child of disobedience. But God came in and turned the light on. He allowed you to see. And so worship is an awakening of your spirit and your soul to God. You are now turned on to Jesus. Worship is designed to arouse and activate your emotions and your feelings of love and joy and rejoicing. Worship is exciting. Worship is good. Worship does the body good. There are times we need to spend, God is looking for people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He wants you to be led by the Spirit. He wants you to be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. He wants you to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And He wants you to be in line with His Word. In spirit and in truth. That's a true worshiper. A true worshiper will have those two elements, spirit and truth. And just think about this now. Jesus is in our midst right now. He is walking around. He is seeking who will worship Him. Because when someone starts to worship Him, it touches his heart and he is drawn to worship. What happens is when you start to worship God, He will literally inhabit the praises of His people. He will actually come down in your praises and He will manifest His glory, His goodness, His power. He will change things. Amen. But you have to do the worship. He won't make you. But we ought to be inspired by what He's already done. Amen? Go to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. I want God just to show up and interrupt this place. I want more than anything His presence and His power and His glory. I want this place to be filled with such a presence of God that the ministers just lay down. That happened with Solomon, you know, when he dedicated the temple. 120 priests and Levites, they couldn't even enter because the cloud was so thick in the place. They couldn't stand to minister. Let me tell you something. When you encounter the power of God, you know why we have people stand behind people? Because when people encounter the power of God, something's going to give. Amen? And we do our best to protect you, so we try to catch you, or we let the chairs catch you. But I guarantee you that there's some times when the God moves and no one can catch you but the Spirit of God. Amen? And I want some times like that. I want God's presence. I want His power. Amen? But it's going to cause us to worship Him. How badly do you want His power? How long will you worship? How long are you willing to worship? What are you willing to do in worship? Are you willing to give your all? You know, when He was on the cross, He didn't leave anything. Every drop of blood. He gave it all. He paid your debt. So how much are you willing to worship Him? And I guarantee you that worship begins before 10 o'clock. Worship should be a lifestyle. It's how you live. It's how you think about God. God gives you emotions and feelings to help you express yourself. And we need to worship God in spirit and in truth. And when we do, He will manifest Himself. He will show Himself strong to those whose hearts are loyal to Him. Psalm 92. It is a good thing. Say, it's a good thing.
Good thing.
to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto your name, O Most High. It's a good thing. Say, worship is a good thing. To show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Is there ever a night where God's not faithful? No. Upon an instrument of 10 strings. Everybody hold up your 10 strings. Praise God. On an instrument of 10 strings, you got an instrument right here. You can worship the Lord. You can praise his name for his goodness, for his kindness, for his mercy. And upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound, for you, Lord, has made me glad. Say, he's made me glad. He made me glad through the work. His work in me is complete. He did a complete work. He delivered me from hell. He delivered me from the devil. He delivered me from sin. He delivered me from bondage. And I'm free. No longer to be under that dominion. And I don't know about you, but I can hardly contain myself when I think about that. My goodness. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Lord, lay your hands on me. Oh, Lord, how great are your works. And get this, Jesus said, the works that I do, you're going to do also. Because greater works you're going to do because I'm going to the Father. And your thoughts are very deep, like a well. Worship is delighting in the Lord day and night. When you delight yourself in God, what happens? He gives you the desires of your heart. But the delighting yourself in God comes before getting your desires met. You've got to give up your time and you've got to put it towards him, and then he'll put his time towards you. There's a divine exchange. Moses, he set up a tabernacle. It was called the tent of meeting. He set it outside the camp. And if you're pastoring 2 to 3 million people, you better have a place where you meet with God. Just think of how many complaints Moses heard before he received instruction from his father-in-law to let that be transferred to some others, and you just hear the major ones. But Moses would set up this tabernacle. This was his office. And he would wake up, and he would go to that tent. And when the people would watch Moses go, everybody stood up. And when Moses would go into the tent, the people would sit back down, and then God's glory would come in the form of cloud and a fire, and it would reside on the tent. And there, Moses would pray for the people before the mercy seat. He would bring the troublemakers before God. He would ask God to provide. He would ask God to bless. Him and God would have a conversation at the tent of meeting. And to some degree, he would experience God's glory. I'm sure that he felt something when that fire and that cloud came in that place. And then Moses would punch out. He would go home, he would go back to his tent, but there'd be one person there who would stay there. His name was Joshua. Joshua would see the presence of God come in that place. And he said, I want that presence. And I'm going to wait in that presence. I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to wait for whatever God wants to do. I'm going to draw near to God so that he can draw near to me. I'm going to make myself available, God. Joshua was, in essence, saying, here I am, Lord. I just want to wait in your presence. Joshua just enjoyed the presence of God. When you worship, you just need to enjoy God's presence. Forget what you're dealing with. Forget who's behind you. Forget who's next to you. Forget who's in front of you. And let your focus be on the Lord God Almighty. Be captivated with His majesty. Be enraptured with His splendor and His glory and His magnificence. And just be taken away with God and begin to worship God in spirit and in truth. When you take those steps to worship, I tell you, God, that will stir God's heart, and He will be willing to act on your behalf. He'll be willing to do great and mighty things. You talk about miracles happening. I'll tell you what, miracles can happen when we worship God. You don't even have to lay hands on people when the people are worshiping God. God will just come down in a place, and His glory will settle in this place. But it all has to do with how we respond to God. We could sit there like this. God's moving. Oh, yeah, that's nice. You know, if you don't rejoice when someone else is rejoicing, you may not have too much to rejoice about. Because you don't want to be jealous, because that's not a fruit of the Spirit. Any time that you get out of the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to lack in worship. Because worship is a spiritual thing. It has to be done in spirit and in truth. So anytime you're doing any type of worship that's not, that the Spirit's not involved in, guess what? You're going down the path of error. See, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Spirit in them. The Spirit would only come on people like the prophet, the priest, and the king to function. And occasionally it would come on others to do something. For instance, the people who designed the tabernacle, the Bible says they had the Spirit of God to make all those things. But in the Old Testament, they had to have the law to say, do this and don't do this, because they didn't have the Spirit within them. But now we're in the New Testament. Jesus said, the hour has already come. The hour is right now. Where God put His Spirit in every believer. Every believer is infused with the Spirit of God. And we have His nature in us. And because we have the Spirit in us, He wants to work with us. We have the Spirit of God, the one who created the world. He's on the inside of us. He can instruct us. We're going to talk more about the Spirit as we go along, because we got to know what it means to worship in the Spirit, the Spirit part. But you got to work with the Holy Spirit. That means, when He says, do this, you must do this. Amen. You must act swiftly and act quickly. Don't try to reason it out. The moment you start to reason it out, you will lose the anointing to do what He asked you to do. And when you lose the anointing, that means you're doing it in your own power. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to crash and burn. Why do you think He gave us the Spirit in us? Let's finish up. And be prepared. You don't have to wait till the altar call to start worshiping God. You didn't hear me. You don't have to wait for someone to tell you to worship. Take a moment right now and think about how good God's been to you. I told you, you don't have to wait for someone to tell you to worship. I'm giving you an opportunity right now. Think about how good God's been to you. Think about how he delivered you. How he provided for you. How he saved you. God is good all the time. Think about where you were and where you are now. Many of us were delivered from death. Praise God, hallelujah. We bless the name of Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord, in this place. We magnify you, Lord Jesus. See, for some, you've been spending your time magnifying your problem and not magnifying God, and that's why it's a lot harder to worship. Let me tell you something. There's no problem that is bigger than God. There is nothing that you face on this planet that God cannot handle and cannot deal with. He's looking, God is looking right now in this moment for people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Some of you need to connect with God right now. You need to connect with God. I don't know. There's not too much excitement. Let me give you some things about worship. Let the Holy Spirit blaze this in your heart. If you want to worship, worship. Worship is an altar to God where you call on his name and his presence dwells. Worship is characterized by thanksgiving. Worship occurs under the influence and the inspiration of God's Spirit. He sets his ministers a flame of fire. Father, let that fire burn right now. Father, let it burn. Let that fire burn right now. I fan that flame right now in the name of Jesus, and we release the fire of God. Let it burn right now. The fire of God. God is in our midst. He is among us. He wants to do miracles. He wants to do signs. He wants to do wonders. But he needs your worship. He wants your worship. He's looking for you to worship him in spirit and in truth. To come out of your comfort zone. Get a little bit uncomfortable for God. David got out of his comfort zone when he brought the ark, which represented God's presence, back to Israel, and the Spirit of God touched David. He jumped up. He started dancing and leaping and spinning about wildly like a wild man. Why? Because he didn't care what people think. This is not a time to care about what people think. I don't care what people think. I don't care what people think. I care what God thinks. What does God think? It is time to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Right now, I say let there be a spirit of worship that hits this place in the name of Jesus. Father, we need an encounter with your power. We need an encounter with your power this hour. Right now, Father, we need an encounter with you, an encounter with the Holy Ghost. We need a touch from the Master's hand right now in this place at Victory Christian Fellowship in Palmyra, Father. Lord, manifest your glory. Manifest your presence. Let your holiness come down. Let the fear of God flow in the name of Jesus. God ought to touch your emotions, touch your feelings. We praise you, Lord. Can we get some praise in the house? I'm telling you, some things can't be taught. You just got to worship. You just got to make a decision that you're going to worship God no matter what. You offer a sacrifice of praise. When you don't feel like it, you praise Him anyway. Hallelujah. God is here. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank You, Lord God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind lack in the name of Jesus. And I command windows of heaven to be opened right now. Lord, I come against lack and I release the blessing. Father, He is a son of Abraham. He's been made to walk in the blessings of Abraham because Jesus became a curse for him. So, Father, I ask You right now to release the blessings and make up the difference in the name of Jesus. Make up the difference in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're not done worshiping yet. We've only begun now.